valuable information on love, faith, and prayer that can make your life more meaningful. It's never too late for love. The simple love of God and each other can solve all of our problems. His love is the answer to everything. It saves souls, forgives sins, satisfies hearts, purifies minds, redeems bodies, wins friends, and makes life worth living. It can survive every difficulty, difference, weakness, shortcoming, failure, fault, sin, or obstacle. It's the only truth, the only way, and the only peace. Love even has creative power because God is love and He is the Creator. His love can change wrecks of lives into wonderful, productive, happy, warm, glowing sons and daughters of God. It can do anything. Nothing can resist the power of love. Whatever it touches, it changes. It changes everything. It's so beautiful. There's just nothing like it. It can change everything, heal every disease, cleanse every stain. It's all powerful. Love knows no hours nor days. Love is always. For love is God, and God is always. It's like a stream, a river that just keeps flowing no matter what, because of the dew of heaven, Jesus. Ah, love, I found you at last. In my heart is a song. I dreamed of love in the past. I have waited for you so long. Ah, love everlasting, at last I have found thee. God is a spirit. God is the spirit of love. He is the great spirit, the creator. He's not some old bearded gentleman way off somewhere, or some kind of ferocious monster that you can't understand. But he is the genuine, basic power, the guiding light of the universe, the all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent spirit that pervades all things. He is everything, and everything is God, in a sense. God dwells in life. He dwells more in one little sparrow than he does in a world full of buildings and monuments dedicated to him. For the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He said that even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Nevertheless, the High and Holy One dwells in the heart of the meek and the lowly. He will live within your own heart if you ask him to be there. He is everywhere, in love. He is the very spirit of love in your heart. He's inside of you, so close. His love is there wherever you are, whenever you ask for it. As King David so beautifully expressed in the Psalms, if I'm up in heaven, thou art there. If I descend into the depths of hell, thou art there. Wherever I am, thou art with me. I can never depart from thy spirit. You must learn to live in the Lord's strength. You cannot live in your own. If you try to do the Master's work without the Master's power, you're tackling an impossible job. You cannot strive and rest in your own strength. You must look to the Lord in very earnest prayer for the strength and the spirit and inspiration to help you through. Or you're apt to wear yourself out. It's like the story of the small boy who was trying very hard to lift a heavy object when his father came into the room and asked him, "Are you using all your strength?" "Yes, of course I am," the boy impatiently exclaimed. "No, you're not," the father answered. "You haven't asked me to help you." Even a little help from Jesus is a bigger help than everybody else can give you. A little help from the Lord is the biggest help you can get. And that's all the help we need, is just a little help from Jesus. Just a little help from Jesus will make it right, all right. Without him, you're nothing. But with him, you're everything. Give me a task too big, too hard for human hands. Then shall I come at length to lean on thee, and leaning, find my strength. It's wonderful to hear, straight from the Lord, yourself. God expects his children, those who know him personally and know his will and his word, to touch him personally, directly, and make a direct contact with him, not through somebody else's faith or prayers. And that's why the most important thing that any Christian can learn, and each new Christian has to learn it himself, is how to follow God and hear from him fresh every day. You can hear from God every day, and you should be hearing from him every day. It doesn't have to be out loud. It doesn't have to be with an audible voice. It can just be in that small voice that you feel inside of you. Sometimes it's not even words, just an impression that you have. God doesn't have to communicate in words. He can just give you a feeling, or a picture, or an idea. If you really believe and ask the Lord, and you want to hear or see, you won't be disappointed, and that which you see or hear with the ears or eyes of your spirit, that's the Lord. It will be such a comfort to you. If you really want to hear him, he'll talk to you. You just have to have faith. Jesus speaks anytime, anywhere, if you believe. Anytime you believe. Except ye become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. It pays to be a little child. In fact, Jesus himself said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." We're to be like little children, loving, sweet, simple believers in childlike faith, believing and receiving all that the Lord has for us. Children are samples of the citizenry of heaven, like little angels dropped from the sky. They're so fresh from heaven, they understand and are not the least bit fearful when it comes to the things of the Lord and the Spirit, and even spiritual experiences. It is given to children to be rich in faith. Faith just comes natural to them. They are so fresh from heavenly places that they have faith to believe anything God says, and with them, nothing is impossible. The problem with many grown-ups is that they know too much. They've been educated out of their childlike faith. But there are others of trusting childlike faith who are daily doing things that doubting intellectuals say can't be done. So be like a little child, and anything wonderful can happen. We are citizens of the world by birth, but citizens of heaven by rebirth. We have in effect renounced our worldly citizenship when we receive the King of Kings into our hearts. We have become citizens of God's great heavenly city and members of the kingdom of God when we become Christians. Real Christians, true Christians, disciples of Christ, lovers of God, lovers of Jesus. We are citizens of a new world of love and life and happiness in Jesus forever, the kingdom of heaven, the only country that never did a wrong thing, or fought a wrong war, or persecuted the poor, or oppressed the weak, or polluted the earth. Our country is trying to save the world, to stop the wars, to relieve the poor, and to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and liberate the captives who are bound. We're citizens of the only righteous nation in the universe, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's our country, and heaven is our home. Are you a citizen of that city already? Have you received your passport? Are you claiming your citizenship papers as a rightful citizen of that heavenly city? Your passport is Jesus, and your citizenship papers are the promises of God for your salvation. Are you on the spot? Turn around and put God on the spot. The Lord loves to precipitate a crisis, and He sometimes even lets things happen to make us pray and believe Him for the answer. He wants us to be specific and take a definite step of faith by making specific requests and expecting specific answers. Specific prayer puts both God and ourselves on the spot, but it is also a sign of our faith, which pleases God. But some people are afraid to ask the Lord for definite answers to prayer for fear that they won't get them, and then they'll be embarrassed because their prayers weren't answered, and that might be a reflection on their spirituality or even hurt God's reputation. What if He doesn't answer prayer? What will people think of our faith and our God? So they just generalize in order not to be pinned down in case they don't get an answer. But God loves to be put on the spot because He knows He'll never fail as long as we meet the conditions, exercise our faith in prayer, and obey His word. And when He answers, it will be a testimony to His word and His faithfulness, as well as to our own faith in expecting a specific answer. So tell Him exactly what you need or want done, and He won't fail. Jesus left the halls of heaven for our sakes. He renounced His citizenship in heaven, and though He was rich, for our sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might become rich. Jesus not only had to come down amongst us, but He had to be one of us. He had to become a member of the human community. He came as a meek and quiet, weak and helpless baby. He not only adapted Himself to our bodily form, but also conformed to the human ways of life. He was human. He got tired. He got hungry. He got weary. He was subject to all these things, even as we are, yet without sin, that He might be a good high priest, have compassion upon us, know how we feel, know when we're footsore and weary, know when we've had enough. God sent Jesus to become a human being in order that He might better reach us with His love and communicate with us on the lowly level of our own human understanding and have more mercy and patience with us than God Himself. Think of that. the Bible says, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, having worn that frame himself, suffering in it, and dying in it, for our sakes. He came down to our level, that he might take us with him, back up to his. What a miracle! All for our sakes. With his stripes, we are healed. Our bodies belong to Jesus. Jesus has bought our spirits with his blood, and we are saved. But he has also bought our bodies with his sufferings. He died for your salvation, but he suffered for your healing. His body was broken for you for the healing of your body. There is salvation both for the spirit and for the body. He's already paid for not only your salvation, but he has paid for your healing. He shed his blood for your salvation, and what did he do for your healing? The Bible says, by his stripes, his wounds, ye are healed. He suffered for your healing. So we can claim healing as a part of his atonement. We can claim it as a part of what he paid for. He paid for it. It's yours already for the asking. So if you've been sick and you need healing, ask the Lord to heal you and take it by faith. It's there for you. God not only can do it, but he wants to do it. He's more willing to give than we are to receive. Believe God. He never fails. Hold him to his word. He says, command ye me. Have desperate prayer and expect a miracle. You do your part, and the rest is up to God. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. They that believe have entered into rest. If you know that God loves you and cares for you and is going to look after you no matter what happens, you can have peace of mind and you can just rest in the Lord, knowing that he's going to take care of everything. But if you're confused and worrying and fretting and fuming, you're not trusting. You don't have the faith you ought to have. The secret of that calm and peace and rest and patience and faith and love is resting in the Lord, getting calm before the Lord and praising the Lord and seeking the Lord first. Trusting is a picture of complete rest, peace, and quiet of mind, heart, and spirit. Even though you may be busy and in action, your attitude and spirit can remain calm. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Help us, Lord, not to be so pressured that we put off our time with thee. Help us to put thee first each day, to bask spiritually in thy sunshine rest in thy arms, drink deeply of thy word, and inhale of thy spirit. Hallelujah. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. I came to the man at the gate of the year and asked him, "Give me a light that I may see my way." But he said unto me, "Put your hand into the hand of God, and he shall be more unto thee than a light, and better than a known way." The things we need to know, he tells us, and sometimes the things we want to know, he tells us. But most of the time, he throws a veil over the future so that it is known only to him. And that really helps to keep us close to the Lord and trusting in him. He's promised to never leave nor forsake us. For behold, he says, "I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." And he's given us the torch of his word to show us where our path is going. We can always throw the light of God's word on the path ahead. For the scripture says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. So if by some still small voice he calls me to paths I do not know, I'll answer with my hand in his, I'll go where you want me to go.